the daily racing podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Catherine Fry, John Budden, Stephen Powell and Dale Gibson in the studio. There's meetings at Beverley, Lingfield, Newton Abbott and Carlisle on Tuesday afternoon, and you'll hear it all on Racing Radio. As I say, my name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. You're getting run of these, aren't you, Mick? Now for three in a row.
Just a bit, yes. Certainly am.
Plenty to talk about, Mick. We're going to do the Monday jury, okay. And we're also going to look at the Tuesday's racing. And there's a few stories as well that I'd like to talk about. Starting with some jumps news, and that stunning sprinter Sakura has his best summer ever. Apparently, well, if his summer was anywhere near as good as last winter, it will be stunning, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely, and I think the problem's going to be finding some opposition for him, isn't it?
Yeah.
excuse me.
Okay, they're going to keep him at the 2 mile tripper. And you know, the temptation maybe would have been to step him up to 3 miles, but Nicky Henderson doesn't feel there's any need. So,
if you're the best in your division, why?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if he's not broken, don't fix it, and all that. Mm. Looking forward to the jump season. Now it's only, what is it, 7 weeks away?
Well, like yeah, it's creeping ever closer, isn't it? To the proper jump season, yeah.
Okay. Before we get there, though, we have the ARC, and apparently the winner of the Ledger Leading Light, not short of class, apparently, is the story in the Racing Post, which I think we knew anyway, didn't we?
Absolutely. I don't know how we spoke about this last time, didn't we? And the graders, the number crunchers, were all turning their nose up at him. I thought it was a tremendous performance, and all the right horses were there. And I think he's a proper horse, and he'll go on and make a really good cup horse next year, I'm sure.
Yes. Well, we'll watch out for that next year. Let's concentrate on the Monday jury then. And the first question is around the ARC as well. It's about Intello. It's can Pre de Prince d'Orange winner Intello make a splash in the ARC, Mick?
Well, I think he's a very good poker player, Andy Fobb, and the way that he's only going to test this horse at 12 furlongs is on ARC day, and that'll tell us whether he's an absolute superstar over this trip or not. He's certainly very good at 10, isn't he? And I mean, he's been back to a mile to win at the highest level, so he's a very good horse. And if he is as good at 12 as he is at 10 and shorter, then he's going to be very, very hard to beat, and no better man than Andrew Fobb to produce him on the day. I think he's got to be highly respected.
Okay. On to the second question then. Who do you fancy for the Cambridgeshire, Mick?
Yes, it's still wide open, isn't it? You've got Top Notch Tonto in there with a huge rating now for a 3-year-old. Does bring some class into the race if Brian decides to run him. I was just looking through this, through the Cambridgeshire. One that caught my eye that may just have been sort of not exactly laid out for it, but kept in mind, shall we say, and that's a horse of Henry Candy's called Code of Honour. He's an improving 3-year-old. He's only having his 9th career start when he lines up on Saturday. He's fresh. I think this is only his 5th run of the season. And he's also won over 10 furlongs. I like my Cambridgeshire horses to have won over further than 9. I like them to have won over 10 and come back in trip is no problem. He's going to be a fancy price, and I hope we can hit the frame for us at a decent price. It's just a speculative one, but I just thought Henry Candy, just the sort of man who would put a horse like this just by for a race like the Cambridgeshire.
Okay. Did you say it was called Code of Honour?
Code of Honour.
Yeah, 25-1.
That'll do nicely. That'll do nicely.
Good stuff. On to the third question then, Mick. How will Sky Lantern versus Elusive Kate Mark II unfold in the Sun Chariot on Saturday?
Yeah, I suppose they're going to duke it out again, aren't they? It's been a real scrap between these two. William Buick is Richard Hughes' arch nemesis, isn't he? Mm-hmm. He sort of follows him everywhere he goes. I suppose it'll be the same story at Newmarket on Saturday. I'd like to see a nice race between these two, you know, without any argy-bargy, but I think that's extremely unlikely with Buick involved. So, I don't know, it'll be more of the same, I think, and whoever comes out unscathed will probably be the winner. Last man standing or last filly standing?
Yes. I suppose a lot of it could go down to the ground, couldn't it? Elusive Kate prefers a bit of cutting the ground, whereas Skylanton will probably want it a bit quicker to show that turn of foot.
Yes, I just hope these two don't get sucked into the old ploy of watching each other and let somebody else go and poach 5-6 lengths out, something like La Colina or whatever. And we've seen that happen in the past, haven't we? We've seen it happen in champion hurdles with jockeys thinking they've only got each other to beat. And what's that 10 lengths clear going to the last, you know?
Yeah, so, Binocular and Hurricane Fly did it.
Absolutely. When Rock on Ruby's year.
Yeah. Okay, who do you think will come out on top, though, Mick? If I had to nail you down to one of them, would you lean either way?
I don't know. I'd try to watch it and just let the best filly win.
Okay. It'll be a good race to watch, won't it?
It will.
Which juveniles will be hailing after after Newmarket's 2-year-old test this week?
Yeah, I think the fillies are the ones that are really catching the imagination, aren't they? I'm not quite sure about the colts yet. I think probably Barchard, maybe he's an interesting contender for next year, isn't he? But the fillies are great, aren't they? I love Razina. I mean, she was 5th of 17 on her debut, but since then she's only been beaten twice, and that was by No Nay Never and Lucky Crystal.
Not by farming.
Absolutely. And if she goes for the fillies mile, she's trying a mile for the first time. But for me, it was Stamina that won her the Moyglare, so I have no problems with her up to the mile. And I'll have also no problems with her going back to 6 if she goes for the Cheveley Park. I think they'll be desperate to avoid each other, some of these. I mean, Lucky Crystal is the only one. I mean, she's not even attempting the fillies mile. She's going for the Cheveley Park, and that's it. I would think the likes of Kiyoshi, I don't know whether she'd fancy another crack at Rizina or not, whether she might. They might fancy the chances more of taking on Lucky Crystal. They'll be praying that the rain stays away, won't they, for Lucky Crystal. I think these two races need a bit more close attention once the final decks have made and when they've all done their body swerving each other. And I think quite a bit of it will be down to who's riding what where as well. So I think we'll leave that one open. But whatever beats Clive Britton's filly Rizina, wherever she goes, whichever race she goes for, they'll know they've been in a scrap.
Okay. What performance most impressed you of late, Mick?
I was very impressed with Kaizuna, the Japanese filly that won on Arc Trial. Not so much the performance on the clock or anything like that, because it was a particularly slow time. Just the way that she travelled through the race, handled the track, got the job done with the minimum of fuss, and I thought Taki, he was supremely confident on her, just expecting the response he got, and I thought that was as good as the trials as I've seen. I mean, I never get carried away with these trials. I mean, don't forget, last year's winner got beat in her trial. She was only third in the Prix Vermeil.
Yeah.
So we don't get carried away about the trial. But visually, I thought Kaizuna was very impressive. And I think with Oferve in the lineup as well, I think we're in for a Japanese fest again at Longchamp, where I think I'll be taking industry prices and not Parimutuel well, because the Japanese don't now follow their favourites, and there'll be much better value, those Japanese horses, if you fancy them on the industry prices, than there will be on course.
Okay. And the final question then, Nick, of this week's Monday Jury is, give us a horse to follow over the final 7 weeks of the flat season.
Well, I was working yesterday, Mark, and I was terribly impressed with the horse of Jim Bowles's that won the first on the card in Garen, Mandatorio. It's this identical maiden that he won 12 months ago with Trading Leather. And look what he went on to do. He's the winning most horse in training in Europe this year, Trading Leather. So if Mandatorio can follow his footsteps, we're in for a treat. I think he's going to have one more run this year, and then they're going to put him away and plan his 3-year-old campaign. But tremendously exciting. I think that was a race in Goran that yesterday that's going to throw up a stack of winners in the next week or two. The fifth, Belisarius, where that came from, it came from another planet up the home straight. And, well, right down to, you know, I mean, any one of the first six, seven home will be winners waiting to happen. But the winner, Mandatory, and he was well fancied as well by Jim Bulger, did it from a coffin box draw of 14. Two-year-old debutants should not be winning from stall 14 in the Mile Maidens in Gorham Park. But he made light of it, and I thought that was a tremendous tremendous performance by him, and I think he's a very exciting prospect. They've got very, they've got plenty to look forward to with him for next year.
Yeah, and I was listening to you and Ross talking about it after the race, and Ross flagged up an interesting stat that the top four runners by Manduro all won on debut, and the rest don't usually. So, you know, they all went on to group races as well, didn't they? So.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite... I mean, the one with the experience, Kirkenny, who just went down by a short head, also a son of Manduro.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so he... You wouldn't have thought Manduro would make a two-year-old sire, would you? But he certainly gets runners, doesn't he? A very good horse himself, and getting better mares now. And I think he's a horse to remain very much on the right side of.
Okay, well, that's the Monday jury for another week then. And now let's move on to Tuesday's racing. As I mentioned, we've got four meetings: Beverly, Lingfield, jumping at Newton Abbott, and a Twilight card at Carlisle.
Yes, very much so. I've gone for the last three on the card, the first of them being the 5:40 mark. It's a five furlong, well, just short of six, five furlongs, 193 yards. It'll be posted in the race card at six. And we've got 10 runners to go to post.
Yes, and one of them that's likely to be near the top of the betting is probably Lothero, who comes here on the back of a hat-trick, previous course and distance winner as well. Do you think the run will continue, Mick, or is
Absolutely.
There something?
Absolutely. Yeah, I do. The mark's gone from 50 to 68 since July this year, and he also showed himself for capable of handling the demands of Carlisle over this course and distance last time. Quite incredible, he was beaten in a seller off a mark of 50, a selling handicap of a mark of 50 before his winning run started. So with his proven track form, I think he should go in again before the handicapper nails him. I mean, he's still only off 68 and he's rattled up that impressive hat-trick. A couple of interesting opponents. Bo Amadeus, trained by David Nichols, Adrian in the saddle, showed signs of a resurgence last time when second of seven behind Indigo Blues, off of this mark. Now he is, that was at Thirsk, only his third start for David, and when you look back through his Irish form mark, he's £16 lower now than his last win in a nursery in Navan when he was two. And Navan, a very similar track in layout to Carlisle, in as much as it's almost all on the collar. And if he can build on that Thirsk run, which was definitely a step back in the right direction, he's too well handicapped to ignore. And if Lothair does get overbet for any reason, well, the obvious reasons, really. But, I mean, Bo Amadeus, if that wasn't just a flash in the pan, if he is on the way back, he's too well handicapped to ignore and can't be disregarded. And the other one is Salvatore Fury, who disappointed at Ayr last time, but... this three would have been in good form before that, prior to the slightly disappointed. And he's respected again. He's been placed and close-up placed as well three times off this mark of 69, so it isn't beyond him. But I think if Lothair and Bo Amadeus are both on the red game, I think they'll be a bit too good for Salvatore Fury. I think Lothair will probably win. He might get overbet, and if he is, Bo Amadeus should be the each-way angle.
OK. The 6:15 at Carlisle is next, and this is a Class 3 handicap over the extended mile and three furlongs. And we've got another horse running up a bit of a sequence in this as well, Kiwayu, who you'll have probably seen at York, won't you, Mick?
Absolutely, yeah. Was trained by Ian Williams then. It left Ian Williams after York. I don't know what the circumstances were, whether it's been through the sale ring or what. Hasn't been seen since, and is now with that man, Philip Kirby. And... only £3 higher than that York win in July mark as well. And it's progressed each run in 2013 and gone to a very capable stable and very much open to further progress. There was a lot to like about the way he won at York last time, and he's on a bit of a long-distance hat-trick. Hasn't been seen for 74 days. First start for New Connections, but has got to be respected. Another to consider is Rio's Rosanna, trained by Richard Whittaker. She's still £11 higher than her last win, which was almost 2 years ago. She pays for her consistency, this filly, by the handicapper cutting a very little slack. She was a little bit disappointing when she was a well-backed favourite here last time, but that was probably over a trip too far for her. So coming back to this just short of a mile and a half trip should suit, and I think the way with her might be the pro market for a place. I think you know, she has run well at this track. It was a mile and six, just too far for her. Can't see her out of the frame in this nine-runner contest. The pro market for the place might be the way forward with her. And another interesting runner here is Entihar, Ben Curtis riding for Alan Swinbank. The son of Tiger Hill, another German sire like Manduro, still lightly raced, and his mark slipped back into the 70s. He's back to his last winning mark, and should be all the better for that last run. That was after 110 days off, and he's got to be respected. I think he's going to go off at a fancy price, this horse, and if they all do stand the ground, which I'm hoping they will, and we get some each-way betting, Entihar can't be out of the frame for me, and I'm going to put him up as the each-way selection, Mark.
OK, Entihar each-way there then. And on to the final race. We're going to look at the 650 at Carlisle. This is a Class 5 handicap over a mile and one furlong. Where do you want to start in this one, Mick?
Yes, it's a tricky one, this. Tectonic has been busy of late. Got back to winning ways a couple of weeks ago. I'm just going to overlook him with that latest rise in the weights and concentrate on some a bit lower down. I do like the filly Absent Amy, trained by Amy Weaver. Michael O'Connell's amongst the winners taking the ride. Has had a few trainers in her short career. She's been with Willie Musson and Alistair Liddell, now with Amy Weaver, and has run well for the yard, especially here last time. She can run off the same mark as finishing second and here at Carlisle 27 days ago. She's up in trip a furlong, but the way she was staying on well up the hill after being hampered on that last occasion, I think that will suit her. She's not from five on the turf. She has won a couple on the polytrack, but I think she should have put that right before long. She's going the right way, this filly, and I do like her attitude. Judicious is interesting. Last time out winner for Jeff Harker, Pat McDonald takes the ride. He's £3 higher for that course and distance win. That was back on the 28th of August. Tectonic, who finished second, reopposes, and Frank, the form of that race since. Still on a good mark, was rated 82 at his best, can race off 68 here, so he's a danger to all. And down at the bottom, Sixes Queen will be popular with her consistent string of efforts, but she's probably got a little bit more on her plate here against the boys and against her elders. So for me, it looks between Absent Amy and Judicious. Hard to split them, Mark. The way forward might be to Dutch those two, Absent Amy and Judicious, hoping that the prices end up with you a nice profit, whatever happens.
OK. Let's have a quick summary then, Mickey, if you will, before you go.
Yeah, I think Lothair will keep his winning run going and land the four-timer in the 5.40 at Carlisle. I think Entihar might be worth taking a chance with at a fancy price to give Alan Swinbank and Ben Curtis a double in the 6.15, with the market probably going to revolve around Kawayu and Rio's Rosanna. And in the Carlisle 6.50, the lucky last on their card, on this twilight card, I can't separate Absent Amy and Judicious, so I think the way forward there might be to split your stakes and back them both.
OK, good stuff, Mick. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
Will do, Mark. Thank you.
So the selections of Mick Norton at Carlisle, then you'll hear all of the action from there, as well as the other three meetings on Tuesday. That's Beverley, Lingfield and Jumping at Newton Abbot. They'll be live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. for all of the action, with Catherine Fry, John Budden and Stephen Powell in the studio, and also we'll have a guest appearance as well from former jockey Dale Gibson. So four of them in the studio for the four meetings, and you'll hear it all on Racing Radio. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.